Folks, welcome to our one and only show this week. And it's a very, very special one. We have back with us Greg Stenstrom. Greg Stenstrom is a co-author of the book, The Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception Regarding the Election Fraud in the 2020 Presidential Election. He co-authored that with Leah Hoops. Leah was under the weather, couldn't join us for this interview, but Greg is here and he's going to tell us, give us some updates. We're going to talk about the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, and what's coming next and what we can do to help stop election fraud this go around. So a lot of updates, a lot of good information. Again, Greg is the guy's a corporate executive, a data analyst, a naval officer, technologist, security expert. The guy's got the background. Literally digital forensics is what he does. Stay tuned for that. Plus, we got a couple little small updates from our good friends out there on Facebook world. All that on today's one episode this week, today of what is it, Jim?
I believe the show is called Two Guys.
It is.
One Coup.
Welcome to the Two Guys, One Coup podcast with Dale and Jim, where the truth matters and progressives' feelings don't. We bring you the facts from the perspective of two average, everyday guys who will never apologize for being America first, for adhering to our great Constitution, and for saluting the flag that our brothers and sisters have fought and died for. And now, here's Dale and Jim.
Jim, speaking of coups, seems to be a coup against us going on out here.
Don't understand.
I don't understand it either. But anyways, what time is it, Jim? I'll tell you what time it is. Hold on one second here. Let me see. Oh, sorry. What time is it, Jim? You don't know. It's this time.
What? The Great Santino.
It's time for our good friend Santino.
By the way, when you were playing that, I'm like, your voice is not matching your. You're not. You gotta warn me.
Let's hear it again, Jim. It's time for what?
The Great Santino.
Yes,
we've got makes a Santino. Liberals proud, but it also shows that, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What liberal
we got a Santino update we want to get to, and I'll tell you why. This is all going to stem into some other things that happened that apply to a lot of stuff that Greg even talks about in his interview. So we did, Jim. Good news. The Great Santino offered up his free advice on why our show is just miserable and it sucks. Okay. Here's why. Not only are we just, we conduct interviews shittily, right? Mm-hmm. We heard that last episode, but our equipment is shit. Mm. We can't afford good equipment. Mm. Our equipment sounds like hell. It sounds like we're in a tin can. It sounds like it's just terrible. You know, and if you can improve that, then maybe we can get some guests worthy of coming on the show, he says.
He does it again.
He sticks his thumb in his rear, his foot in his mouth. He does it again. So
lot of good people on.
You think people like, let's look, Wayne Black, who's just spent a majority of his life protecting our nation and protecting those who politicians in our nation and now protecting children. Mm-hmm. You think he's better than Santino Mastodino?
Let's go back to probably the most famous person we interviewed, Chris Berman.
Chris Berman?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Yeah, famous in that direction. But then you've got Commander Dan O'Shea.
Yep.
Him? I mean, is Santino better than him? Is or anybody? Jessica, I mean, everybody. Any Moms for Liberty person we've ever talked to.
Yeah.
Are they, Is he a better human being than them? No, he's not. Of course not. We know that. He's a greaseball, slime bucket douche. But the and that's not allegedly.
No, that's not allegedly.
That's not allegedly. Anyway, so this went back. So he finally told us for free. We didn't have to pay him. You know, I just kept telling him, geez, dude, you know, so he told us how shitty our equipment is, what it sounds like. I said, well, I'm sure your iPhone 3 has shitty speakers, you know, like, you know, so get an iPhone that's 2000 and above. So anyways, that's what happened. And so this went on and on and on. And eventually I've played with the troll long enough. I've kicked him while he's down. I've proven facts to him. I've offered up stuff. I even at one time reached out and said, okay, dude, we need to stop this. All right, that's fine. Our show sucks. You said it. I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's end it. He kept going. So here we are. And finally, I just blocked him. Mm-hmm. But before that happened, I got a nice little note. Both him and I did. Mm-hmm. On a Facebook group that we both belong to, that said the following: if you both can't behave as adults, then we do not need you here. You, Santino Mastodino, for acting like a little leftist troll, and you, Dale, and my last name, for overreacting to it.
And we admit that, you know, we do overreact.
Of course I overreacted to it. That was the fun. That's that was the whole point, was the overreaction. Mm-hmm. The, my God, what are we going to do without your listenership, Santino? How will we ever get better? Mm-hmm. I need this advice from you. I mean, how can we grow? You know, I mean, of course I'm overreacting. Like, I give a shit about this slime ball pervert, right? And he says, as group founder and blah, 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 there's some things I'm not reading because I'm not calling them out yet.
Right.
This group is here solely, in capital letters, for the promotion of this group and mm-hmm. this party. Mm-hmm. This is our only warning. So I write back. I said, understood. It's not my group. I'm not in charge of it. I don't run it. You know, I get it. You know, we have groups that we run. I wouldn't want to see a bitch session going mm-hmm. back for 24 hours. It would annoy me because it would always pop up under my, you know, comments. I get it. So I said, understood. Sometimes I like to stir the pot with trolls. Not often, but sometimes I do. And then I asked this, seriously, because mm-hmm. this is a conservative group, right?
Exactly.
I said, may I ask, is the leftist troll gone from the group? Is there anything I said in there? Understood. Sometimes I like to stir mm-hmm. the pot with trolls. Not often, but sometimes I do. May I ask, is the leftist troll gone from the group? Is there anything I said in there that would be somewhat derogatory, provoking in some way, or
I wouldn't think so.
Here's the response I got. The comment is obvious, and so is your provocation. Capital letters. Do not test me. This conservatives.
Somebody's on a power trip.
who are you? Do not test you. What is that, like a threat? Like, I don't even know what you're saying, dude. So I wrote back and I said, and this is the last I've heard. So that, to all fairness, I said, I'm not testing you. I respect your rules. It's your group. I was simply asking for a reason. I have since blocked the troll. I am not concerned about any of that. I'm trying to read the room here. Who belongs to this group and who doesn't? That's all. Mm-hmm. Basically, who controls your moderation? Who allows people in? Who stops people from coming in that are trolls? Why am I being called out when I asked the simple question, did the person who doesn't belong? Oh, I said, and I think we're on the same side, I think, because I don't know now. I said, you know, we're on the same team, bro. No response, nothing. Haven't been removed from grip. So I'm not calling them out. Right. I'm not anything, but it's going to my point of, wait a second. We're on the same team, and yet you're telling me by simply asking if one of the, if the enemy has infiltrated your forces, did you remove the enemy? Did you take care of the illegal who crossed into this border? Yeah. That's all, you know?
There was a comment made from a friend who's mm-hmm. on
this? on that group?
Elizabeth from Conservative Voice of Silence. She,
oh,
she
yes.
commented.
Oh, okay. She did.
And she also copied something else on another page that he is on that he got.
The Santino guys. The
great Santino got, got ripped on. I can't find it right now. But
okay, I might be able to find that.
It was kind of
a little bit here, but yeah.
You know, it's basically the same thing. It's, there's trolls out there, guys. That's what they do.
There's trolls out there.
I mean, for God's sakes, I'm on an Indiana fan page for Facebook. There's Purdue trolls. On Purdue's fan page, there's IU trolls.
That's okay.
It's all people over allow the place. It.
Right. I'm not. I'm literally. Oh, but you can do whatever you want. It's your group.
The reaction from the administrator was, it does confuse me. Look, I get it. Stop arguing, guys. That's
no, not I get that.
Platform.
Grow the hell up.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fine.
So
I could take my comeuppance there. But
yeah, but the other part.
Yeah. But asking, you know, is this the group I'm in? Mm-hmm. Is this allowed in this group? Is this what I have to look forward to? Because I gladly leave it. I don't need Facebook group. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't need to be in it. I'm just asking. I like your group. You guys share our podcast. I appreciate all that. Does anybody monitor this shit? No, or are you just monitoring me, you know? Anyways, so that happened. Right after that, bing, there's a comment that pops up. So, who's that from? I don't know this guy. I'll say his name because I don't care. But it's a guy by the name of Wesley Gregory. Okay? Mm-hmm. What's a different... It's not in the same group that I just had all this shit go through. This is in a Moms for Liberty private group.
Mm-hmm. Private.
And guess what? Guess what it has to do with? It has to do with our interview with Jessica. I'm telling you, that episode is getting a lot of shit from some people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure out why, but here's why he thinks it was shitty. He says, and he starts off by saying, "Oh, her for what? Question mark. Going into combat and not knowing tap, rack, bang. She received the Silver Star without shooting around. She was the victim of Pentagon propaganda for the war effort. She admits she was used." Now, before we go on, Jim, tap, rack, bang.
Right.
Tell us what it is.
It is jargon for the response to a failure to fire in a firearm with a removable magazine.
Yep. Thank you, Jim. So there are a couple things. First of all, I said to him, remove your post, bro. If you'd at all listened, it's disrespectful to her. Second of all, if you listened to the episode, she clearly tells you everything that happened and how they did try to use her as a springboard, as some sort of G.I. Jane kind of woman. And she also testified in front of Congress about it, which is also played at the end of that episode. So I love people that just want to make a comment based on a post. They know nothing about it and they're just buffoons and idiots. And this is what they do. So I said, do that. Why don't you listen to it at least? And then he comments back to the administrator of this particular Moms for Liberty group and asks her and says, get this fool out of here. I'm the fool. And I'll gladly leave. I don't care if the administrator wants me to, but this is what you have in your... I said, dude, it's not... I said to the administrator, you can do what you want, but this isn't a very good look or a good stance for this group. You do what you want, okay? This is not group-wide, national-wide. This is one particular person in one particular chapter. I understand. I'm not saying that this is group-wide or these are bad people. Trust me, we're not. Mm-hmm. But you need to control the trolls. And it's, if you want to leave it on there, and to date, it's still up there. It's there for anybody to see, and that's fine. They don't have to remove it. And I appreciate the group sharing our post. But I just don't, Jim, I don't understand what is happening here. Now, you want to make a good point, and you made a good point before we got on the air about, well, why did she not fire her weapon, Jim? Why did she not fire? But this fool doesn't know the story. He knows what he read on MSNBC or wherever he's read it. Right. Why didn't she fire the weapon? So Wesley can learn something today.
Weapon because of the vehicle they were in with four other soldiers.
Yes.
Was bombed by an RPG. It was hit with an RPG. She was knocked unconscious. She was unconscious for 3 hours.
Yep.
That's why she didn't tap, rack, and bang. That's why she didn't do it. Now, would she have if she was a coherent? I believe so. That's what they're trained for.
That's what they're trained for.
But she was knocked out.
She was not. And she probably would. And say, she probably would be dead now if she
to sit there and say, "Oh, her for what?"
Yep.
Mm-hmm. To everybody knows what she went through physically.
Correct.
Okay. Emotionally.
First of all, she joined the service, so we thank you for that, Jessica.
Mm-hmm. We owe her because of who she is, what she did. No, she didn't save 40,000 victims. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. But she was taken hostage by a hostile force that executed
barbarians,
the people in her Humvee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we need to thank her for her service.
Femur removed.
Oh, yeah.
She had her femur with removed, a rod.
Replaced with a rod from a male.
A 1940s rod.
Yep. And it was made
for a male.
Obviously, it wasn't. What do you call it? Disinfected, sanitized. It was not sanitized, so she had infections from it. So listen to the whole thing.
She's 21 years later and still doing physical therapy.
For somebody to sit there and say, thank her for what?
Owe her for what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not a great look, and the guy should be removed. And that's just so look, that's the point that I'm trying to make. I don't know whose side I'm on anymore, Jim. I don't know which side I'm not on the Democrat side. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that guy. But I don't trust either party. I don't trust people from either group.
That's why I don't do Facebook. That's why I don't like it.
Jim,
you never know. You never know. I mean, there's some people. How are we supposed to get our show out there? No.
I don't want to.
I understand why we do it. I understand completely. Mm-hmm. But the misinformation that's going out all over the place, that people just fall into it. And it's being set up because a lot of people fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because left will do it, right will do it. And the people who are on the left, oh my God, look at this. Look what happened. Mm-hmm. Look what happened. Trump said this. Trump said that. No, he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or our side. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people out there that say, oh, they did this, they did that. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my problem. Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
And now look, Moms for Liberty, we've got a lot of friends in it and we know it.
Yeah. That's not their stance. And I get all that. I mean, that's not my point. My point is that it's still up there. My point is that you need to, not that you need to sign. It's like censoring, right? It's like, oh, I remove them, so I've censored them. And that's, well, so I'm not for that at all. I'm not for anybody being censored. I'm for free speech. You can say what you want to say. But when you have an organization like that, you have to be at least selective, right? Mm-hmm. To some of that. You're not going to let a character like that come to the conferences, right? And then disrupt it and cause problems and or pretend to be one thing and then he's another. I mean, you know, this is what I'm saying. There's character issues that you just – I don't like hanging around people that have character issues, Jim. I don't trust them. They're not my friends. I don't deal with them. I block them from my life, not just faith, but just from my life. Mm-hmm. And so you got to be vigilant in this stuff. You know, you really do. And it's just a shitty look. And it's these people are buffoons and idiots. And I get it. I'm not angry. I don't mind the arguments with these people is what I'm saying. I rather enjoy it. I agree with you.
It's like sometimes we don't know whose side we're on because you and I have talked about this a lot of times. We, you know, we talk to people who say they're conservative. We talk to people who say they're this, and then we start talking to a little bit, and it's like, I don't know. No, that's not what we do.
They've divided us so much that now it's extreme to extreme. It's extreme to extreme. I had a conversation back and forth on a TikTok video with a guy, and it was about the California law, you know, about them saying, don't call your boss. And I posted, you know, well, good luck, California. Give that a try. How long are you going to hold that job? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you don't know anything about, you know, it's my free time and my, whoa, dude. That's not what I'm saying. You know, I'm saying that, yeah, I get that. just try it often. Ignore your boss as much as possible and tell me that boss doesn't replace you is all I'm saying. I'm not saying answer the phone every time. I'm not saying do that, but develop the relationship with your boss, or you're not working for the right person, right? Whatever the story may be. I said, the point is they're pissing away, like we talked about, pissing away money on this legislation while homeless vets are in the streets and fentanyl is coming. He goes, now that I agree with you with. You are absolutely right there. I said, see, dude, we're so divided that we don't even realize what our points are. And I'm guilty of it. Mm-hmm. And there's more in common this nation has than what they're making us out to be. A lot more. A lot more. And the one thing we know for sure is that Trump was right. They are not coming for him. They're coming for us. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what this whole plan is. And both parties are doing it.
Yeah. And if you, we talked about this on the interview. Mm-hmm. So people will hear it here shortly.
You'll hear it. Yep.
My biggest complaint is the politicians on both sides get us going because they know what it takes.
Fire to us
get
up. Us going. They push.
So they do that. And now we don't pay attention to what they're doing. Yeah. We have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. There's going to be another bill for Ukraine. There's going to be another bill that's going to support the illegals, but not our own people. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay, we know these things are being done, but it's being done because we have people. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's the far right and the far left. Mm-hmm. They both can be riled up. Okay.
Yep.
The thing is, the far right doesn't run our country. I know MSNBC and all those people will tell you the far right
will tell you they do.
No, they do not.
They do not run our
country. They do not run our party.
Nope.
All right. Now, the far left runs the Democrats.
But they have such a definition that they think Mike Johnson is a far right. Okay, that's their definition of it. That's their benchmark, right?
I'm going to be
Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, far right.
Probably the best candidate for that position.
Probably
right now. To be able to reach across the aisle. As much as I hate it.
Me too.
Right? When the government gets shut down, just as an example,
I hate it.
Who gets blamed?
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans do.
Always. Every time. Yeah. So I agree. I don't like it either, but it is. You do have to reach across. You have to extend an olive branch, but it's got to go both ways. It's like a marriage. You know, one can't just keep trying and the other one saying, screw off. Mm-hmm. It's never going to work, you know? So, and this is exactly their plan, divide and conquer. That's exactly what they're doing.
You know, so, just not to play too much into this, but you and I have talked about it. The Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Right. The gun. Do I think more backgrounds need to be done? I do. I think more background checks need to be done. I think you need to check social media. I think you need to check all this different stuff before you give somebody a license to have a gun.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
But. I am afraid to pass a bill like that because the Democrats don't just stop at that.
Oh, no.
They say, okay,
no,
we got this.
Red flag laws.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I am hesitant. Okay.
Agreed.
About because I know people that own guns.
Good point.
No way in hell should they own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
They got one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not that they're, you know what I mean? It's just,
I know.
Okay. But I can tell you, I don't want to give the left because you give them this much.
Oh, so, that's okay, it's never enough.
Nobody can own an AR.
Yep.
They that's got right. that. Now they're going to go to the high capacity magazines and handguns.
Yep.
Now
it'll be pistols. It'll be everything.
Now they're going to go here. That's how
it'll never stop.
That's how they do it. That's why you got to put your foot down.
I agree with that. Yep. You reach across the aisle until you realize that, okay,
we're the only one reaching.
That aisle just keeps getting wider, right? Jim, let's get right to our interview then with Greg. Sorry about the rants at the beginning. Just thought kind of owed you an explanation of what's happening and why I'm feeling the way I am now and Jim is and all that, and how it leads right into a lot of things that Greg will say on this interview. You stay tuned for that, and then Jim and I'll be back to wrap it up. Well, we are very happy to have back with us today Greg Stenstrom. Greg Stenstrom is the co-author, along with Leah Hoops, who couldn't join us today, of the book The Parallel Election, a blueprint for deception regarding the 2020 election. We reviewed that last time. We'll go into more details about it now. He is also a co-founder of Patriot Online, a corporate executive, data scientist, naval officer, technologist, security expert. The man knows it all. He was here about a month ago, I think, along with Leah. And we talked about the 2020 election. We talked about the big win in Pennsylvania, the only win regarding election fraud in the 2020 federal presidential race. That's a huge accomplishment. That was you and Leah and a team of people as well. But basically, you won on the truth, just presenting the truth. What are the odds? Something, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. really, something rare these days that you hear. But the truth speaks volumes as far as the 2020 election is concerned. As we talked about before, Greg, and thank you again for coming back on. Super happy to have you here. We learned so much from the last time you were here. Frightening stuff, you know, things that in the back of our heads, we thought, well, yeah, something happened. That's 81 million votes. I don't see it, you know, and I see it even less today. So we learned a lot about the machinery, the V drives. There was so much detail that just the common folks that are listening are never going to know. And you're certainly not going to hear it on the mainstream media. That's for sure. Welcome back, my friend. Thanks. Glad to have you here. We're also going to talk about an article that you wrote regarding the wonderful governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. He kind of went in panic mode, didn't he, after the mm-hmm. win? I guess you could say. I'll let you talk a little bit about that if you want to start with that. What happened immediately after the win? What did you get notified from, like, the governor's office? Did they... Or did he just come out and start spewing his lies like he typically has been doing?
Well, he woke up on social media. And it's the first time Governor Shapiro is a slippery guy. And I call him, within our personal circles, I call him a capo di tutti. I think that's the right term for the mafia. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's the guy who kind of sits back and lets everyone else do his dirty work. But he lit up. His Twitter feeds now 6 to 10 tweets a day about the big lie and, you know, progressive social reconstruction, and his denials of election fraud and the fact that they're doing a concerted effort to subvert the elections here. But the big thing he did is he announced collaboration with the Department of Homeland Security, and specifically CISA, which I can't remember. It's the cybersecurity infrastructure, whatever guys. And they're the surveillance and monitoring people. And what he did is he said, we're going to target misinformation and we're going to target individuals. Yeah. And this is the day after the win that we won, and we put a fork in it. And it went out pretty much. We got a lot of play we had used the truth as a complete defense. So, something people need to know about that. President Trump he's been the subject of multiple defamation suits throughout the country. And that's really how they went after him, is from a defamation perspective. Defamation has got a fairly low bar. While the burden of proof is on the people that bring it, it's a fairly low bar. Now, he's a public official, obviously, the president of the United States. And when he says something against a certain person or people, it's a fairly low bar to say, well, he slandered me, he libeled me, he said there was false elections, and, you know, he's accused me of, accused whoever filed the suit, they've accused us of corruption and so forth. And they were able to hammer the heck out of him because the lawyers in most of those cases, most lawsuits are procedural. So 95% of civil lawsuits never see a court. 97.5% of criminal cases never see a court. So what they do is they fight them procedurally. So the burden of proof is on them to show the defamation, which in Trump's case was fairly easy, where they just said, hey, he said bad things about me. Greg Stenstrom said bad things. Leah Hoop said bad things. And these are bad people. And as we ran the safest and most secure election ever, and President Trump was trying to steal the election from the American people, blah, 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 blah.
Threat to democracy.
And so a procedural defense is usually preferred. But truth is a complete defense is a high bar, because what happens is the burden of proof shifts to us. So the burden of proof and a truth is a complete defense is now we have to prove that everything we said was true. Mm-hmm. So that's why the case was so important, is at this point, it's been almost 4 years, and no one has been able to refute the evidence, the hard physical evidence of massive election fraud. And we know how they do it. We know who does it. It's a matter of public record now. It's a matter of judicial record. It's in the book, The Parallel Election. Mm-hmm. And at this point, we're proceeding forward. After 3 years of struggling in the state courts, we're moving on to the federal courts. And we're going there with a full bag of ammo into the federal courts with all our evidence. And it's going to be a real show this year.
Mm-hmm. Greg, are there other lawsuits out there from other people like you and Leah that we just don't know about yet? Or to get it in front of a judge was so difficult for you guys to do it because you had prosecutors that didn't want to bring it out because of, you know, they were Soros, you know, prosecutors and stuff. Mm-hmm. Are there other things going on in other states that you know of, or is your main focus just concentrate and make sure Pennsylvania does it right this time?
Mm-hmm. I would say the first answer is no coordinated effort. I'm going to say no. The cavalry is not coming. There are people that we work with throughout the country. There are cases, but it's not. They're not getting. I think the proper attention by the federal government, which is needs to change. But if you look at this, this was a suppression exercise against Trump to keep him busy before the primaries. I mean, they had his head down. They were pounding him. And when everyone else was in Iowa and New Hampshire and campaigning, you know, Nikki Haley and all the other people that were running for office, while they were out there, you know, meeting with the caucuses, you know, President Trump was, you know, had his head down, being criminally indicted by Jack Smith, who's a criminal himself. Correct. And then being impounded by these defamation suits, kept his head down. And that's been the purpose of these. So if you look at these as, these suits, in my opinion, aren't really, they're frivolous suits. They're ridiculous, frivolous suits. But nevertheless, if you get an activist judge, we were lucky in our case, we got a good judge, an honest judge, I think. But if you look at these activist judges and look at Fannie Willis, I mean, she's a train wreck, a complete nut job.
Yep.
You go up to New York and it's nut job, Letitia nut job James. After nut job. You got nut job judges. And I don't mind saying they're nut job judges. They're nut job judges, nut job prosecutors, nut job plaintiffs. And they're making all kinds of absurd claims. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, costs money, keeps his head down. So I think President Trump came out of it, did real well. I mean, winning all those primaries, basically it didn't work on him. I think he's, you know, the more they shoot at him, the stronger he gets. He's almost, you know, it's like the Hulk, you know, or he just,
you keep don't want to make him mad. So
it's been good for us, but
I think
there's not that many cases right now. They are going to steal the election again. You can see it happening. And that's that was the purpose of that article on Shapiro. It was kind of a wrap for everything that has happened. And it was an intro. It's called a pillar article for all the things that are to come. So now when we write an article, that was a brutal article. It's long, you know, it takes 30 minutes to read. And if you clicked on all the links, it would take you hours and hours. Our expectation wasn't that people would read that so thoroughly, but that it was there as a reference so that when we start publishing our other things, they can go back and say, well, there's no evidence of that. Well, go back to the FOIA request. So there's no evidence of that. Go back to the billing. There's no evidence of that. Go back to the video. So that's a pillar article, and we're going to build on it. That's why I'm glad to be on the show today and just, you know, have a talk about these things. But no, I'd say we're pretty much it as far as meaningful cases that will actually have a meaningful outcome. And the outcome, meaningful outcome is to stop the subversion and the steal of the elections.
Correct. And in itself is a major, major
let the
victory,
people decide. People decide, right? The properly registered, all of that stuff. And that's what needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, you still today are hearing, you know, I mean, it's still the message out there is no election fraud, no mass election fraud. They want to use that term. You know, it's such a wide variable in what that term could mean, to mass to one person, mass to another. Election fraud is election fraud, and it was massive election fraud. It is a shame that nobody else is kind of doing what you and Leah have done. But then that leads me to think, what's, I don't want to jump ahead because I want to go back to the governor, but what's next for you though? I mean, what is the next step? Are you currently, you said the federal level, is that anything you can discuss as sure, far as, sure. Okay. Like cases or where it's going. So,
well, it takes a long time to establish an evidentiary base. And I think let's just start just a little bit back and just, you got to look at this. My specialty is in weapon systems. So mm-hmm. if you look at the election system and what the centralized counting centers as a weapon system, the weapon system, the mission is to deliver whatever outcome they want for a national election. You know, they don't want President Trump. They can make that happen with this weapon system. They want a Congress, judges and so forth that they pre-select that are going to continue with the transformation of the United States. That weapon system will deliver those. Now, if you look at it as a weapon system, it ingests its fuel, or what makes it go is fraudulent mail-in ballots and the ability to obfuscate mail-in ballots to say, oh, we got, you know, 80 million mail-in ballots, and then crunch them up, and then to obscure them. So people, I don't know where the hell they came from. You know, I don't know, you know, how they were counted. You won't provide me any visibility. So basically it's like the Pope, white smoke or black smoke in terms of who wins with the mail-in ballots.
Yep.
The other thing they do is they are allowed to introduce fraudulent electronic votes. And I don't think they did it. I think early on, I think it was Sidney Powell did mostly, was she called it the Kraken. You know, that there was, you know, there was Russian interference, Chinese interference. There were people in Italy and, you know, SEAL teams running around dropping in Germany. And just just to my point, I think it was a little bit of craziness. I don't know if it happened, didn't happen. But, you know, subverting the vote electronically through the internet, it's a little tough. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't have the proof of that, but it's very, very difficult to do that because the United States has got a pretty, pretty sophisticated national security agency. And you know, we're pretty much one of the top places in the world where we can monitor electronic information coming in. They did it a lot simpler. I call it sneaker net. You know, you take a USB stick, and, you know, all of these things have removable media, and you take a physical USB stick from a precinct or a polling place, and you walk that into the centralized counting centers. You plug that into the tabulation server. You don't know where the hell those votes came from. There's no chain of custody. There's literally they've broken our cases or show that they've completely subverted the election procedures that protect us. So if you look at it as a weapon system and how to stop a weapon system, I don't care where, like, you know, think about the B-2 stealth bomber. You know, who the hell cares where it came from? It came from Skunk Works. It came from, you know, somebody designed the thing. All I know right now is it's up in the air and it's carpet bombing the hell out of us. And I just have to figure out a way to stop it. So when you look at it that way, it's a simple, you know, what does it ingest? What fuel does it take? You know, what's the payload? The only thing I can do is stop the ingestion of the fuel. So if you look at it from that perspective, is the centralized counting centers being a weapon system, then what fuels it is fraudulent mail-in ballots and fraudulent electronic votes. So what we had to do over the past 3 years is we had to show that. We had to go to the elections and we had to file lawsuits at the state level. And this is where Shapiro gets tied in. So we file lawsuits at the county level and we say, look, you're not following any of these procedures. The Election Assistance Commission, along with the manufacturers and the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, they've come up with very, very strict rules of how electronic election systems can be used in the United States. There's all sorts of procedures they're supposed to do. So, hey, We have a way of validating the code. Dominion, ES&S, Hartage Civic, they have code. that's been certified by experts that have looked at it and said, okay, this code is written well enough. Maybe it's not perfect, but if we follow the following procedures, I think it'll give us a pretty fair vote. So all of that code gets a fingerprint. It's called a hash code. It's just a fingerprint so that when they do the testing before the elections at the county level, they say, okay, does the fingerprint match? Does the fingerprint for the code that's on your machines, does that match the fingerprint of what was authorized by the EAC? And the answer is no, it doesn't. They won't give us the hash codes, and we've been fighting in this particular election in three different counties. They won't give them to us. They won't let us watch them. They won't give them to us. They won't let us do any comparisons. And they're like, we're just in two of the counties. They won't even do the hash code tests. So right there, do I know that it's good code? Do I know it's not a good code? Well, the bottom line is we don't know.
Well, if it's such a damn good code, they'd give it to you.
Give us the hash code.
If it was on the up and up, you know.
Greg, real quick, from the book, and then you mentioned this in the last interview we did. I can't remember if it was House Bill 77 or, you know, Article 77, whatever it was within the
Senate. Act 77 in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, in the Congress. If I remember correctly, only two Republicans voted, guys, this is against our state's constitution. We can't do this.
That's correct.
So how was the election not okay? Pennsylvania, your election is not valid, because that's technically what happened, right?
They actually found it unconstitutional.
So what happened with that? Why was this allowed to continue?
Well, we have cowardly legislators, quite frankly, cowardly legislators. Many of them were installed by, you know, the same fraudulent system. So in terms of what we do, if you look at the ultimate goal of this is state capture. And why do they want to do state capture? It's simple. They just want to steal. It's wealth extraction. That's all it is. If you really boil it down to this, you say, why would you steal an election? Well, it's so you can steal, get sweetheart government contracts. You can get patronage jobs. You can get steal properties, steal deeds, steal kids for cash. You know, you look at every kind of mafia scheme. And we just need a way to keep that running. And at a senior level, hey, I get to send how many billions of dollars were we sent to Ukraine and washed and sent back to our politicians? How the hell is Nancy Pelosi worth $440 million?
Exactly.
You know, Mitch McConnell, $200 million. AOC.
She plays the stock market very well.
AOC is a perfect example. In New York City. She's a congresswoman. I don't know what the right term is, but look at her for a minute. It takes about each congressional district is about 660,000 people, roughly. And they're all split up across the country into districts of 660,000 people. Well, and what they found is a group of socialist communists. They found that in New York City, in her district, only about 12,000 people voted per election. I'll get that number. Listen to that number. There's 660,000 people and only 12,000 vote. Well, it's pretty easy. They figured out how. They said, well, we can get her, we can get her elected pretty easy. So they did interviews. They did casting calls. She showed up for a casting call. Literally. Wow. I don't know if people are familiar with that. But she showed up for a casting call. They interviewed her and they wanted to see, is she pretty? She's pretty, you know, she's got nice teeth and she, you know, she can handle herself in front of the camera. And they said, okay, she's a bartender, you know, literally a bartender, but she said, it looks good. You know, we can work with this, slap her face on some posters, get her elected. It's pretty easy to get her elected. And then they bring her down to Congress. She didn't have bus fare. She literally couldn't even, she didn't have an apartment. She didn't have the money to get to Washington, D.C. after she won the election.
Couldn't pay rent. I remember that.
Well, how many years later, a few years later, the most recent net worth for her is in the million. I think it's $4 or $5 million is her net worth right now.
How's that happen?
Out as a bartender, you know, who interviewed for the job, who didn't have bus fare to get to D.C., how do they have $5 million, you know, only a few years later? Well, I just use that as an example. It's wealth extraction. That's all it is. She, you know, somehow somebody's paying her. She didn't just become an investment expert overnight, or she's not moonlighting. She gets her salary is $194,000 a year. Albeit they get good benefits, but you know, how did Nancy Pelosi?
And I don't think she spends it wisely either. I'm just assuming.
that's all good points.
Yeah. So when people say it's if you look at it from a, you know, keep it simple, it's a wealth extraction system. People get paid.
That's right.
They may as well have NASCAR stickers on them, you know, and we've
been doing that. That's a good point.
Always thought politicians should have who sponsors them on their uniforms. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when someone says, hey, it was the safest and most secure election ever, you know, and we won't let you see anything. You can't audit the vote. You can't see the mail-in ballots we put in. We're not going to let you look at the look at anything. We're gonna Governor Shapiro has gone after anybody and everybody who has gone up against this. He calls it the big lie. He refuses to investigate. The DOJ and the FBI refuse to investigate. The U.S. attorneys refuse to investigate. You know, we have FOIA emails that say they obstructed investigations. So, okay, safest and most secure election. Why wouldn't you investigate? You know, it's simple what they're doing. They're putting in fake mail-in ballots and fake USB sticks. We can prove it. Come down and get an image of the tabulation server. Just take a forensic image. It'll show you what's going on. Nope, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So,
Do you think it's crazy?
Do you think your lawsuit? Because we all heard the State of the Union, right? First thing he came out and said, the most fair and free election we've ever had.
Yep.
And do you think that was coincidental? Because no one was really talking about it. Why did he, you think it maybe had something to do with your case, or was it just coincidental? Because it just seemed too coincidental.
It's absolutely they're worried because we have them cold. If we can get our whole premise the entire time is public service is the heart of America. And you'll hear me say that. It's a sentence I use. Public service is the heart of America. I hope to hear President Trump saying it more often. I've heard him say it a few times. But most of the people in we have over 2 million federal workers. You know, we have the military. We have a lot of people in public service and government. A lot of people are employed in this country by the government. And I would say the vast majority of them are honest people. They're working for, you know, they're paying their mortgage, putting their kids in school. They do their jobs diligently. We have good judges. We have very good judges. We have very good law enforcement officials. We have good attorney generals. We have good DAs. And what we talked about in the last show is it doesn't take very much. I only have to get a few bad apples. You know, George Soros didn't give $100 million to the DNC. Instead, he went in and he picked out specific counties and said, hey, I just got to find one corrupt DA like we have. We have Jack Stolzheimer, who's a criminal. And we've made these accusations to the courts. We've demonstrated his criminal activity. He is a criminal. He ran for office 4 times, couldn't win dog catcher here. George Soros drops $1 million on him of walking around money, pays to different people he needs to pay, and voila, he's the district attorney. Now, when I go to a corrupt district attorney and say, look, we need to do an investigation, it's the big lie. He's been put in there to say it's the big lie. Same thing with Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. George Soros dropped $1.7 million on him. You know, and the DA of Montgomery County, they dropped $1 million on him. So they don't need to drop $100 million or $1 billion. They only need to drop $1 million here, $1 million there in specific targeted areas. And then we just have to obstruct the investigations. And then we just continue the wealth extraction. It's an easy squeezy. But when the federal judge, we get a good federal judge, I'm going to assume Judge Alito, there's 9 Supreme Court justices. You know, and each one of them is the head of a circuit court. So we have the First Circuit Court, Second Circuit's Court, and Judge Alito is the Third Circuit Court. And, you know, he's eventually going to see these cases. And the same thing with the other federal judges here. These are, you know, these appointments and these federal judges are under heavy scrutiny. Now, they can screw around at the county level. They can screw around at the, you know, the state level, even the Commonwealth court level. But federal court, when you start getting up into the federal courts, you know, now you've got judges that have been scrutinized, you know, the scrutiny that our Supreme Court justices go through, the Senate confirmation hearings, you know, 1 year of looking in every orifice and, you know, what did you do in high school? Did you cheat in the fifth grade test? You know, these people have, you know, they've gone through a level of scrutiny that now they're going to be able, these are the people, these good public servants are now going to be looking at these federal cases. And the bottom line, we said in court in Philadelphia in the defamation suit, it says everything we said was true. Your client is guilty as hell. He absolutely contributed to stealing the election. All the election officials that we said stole the election did that. We sued 36 of them. 35 of them have either been resigned or terminated or fired.
Wow.
So we're making headway. People, you know, when we make these accusations, it's taken 3 years, but these people are leaving. The chief administrative officer
it's interesting.
Of Delaware County, he just beat feet. The solicitor of Delaware County beat feet. These people are on the run. And Shapiro knows that when we get to the federal court with all the shenanigans, chicanery, and criminal actions that he and his bums have inflicted on our state, there's going to be a comeuppance.
And good.
The big thing that they got to worry about is President Trump. Now, President Trump's going to get back in office, and there's going to be 94 new U.S. attorneys.
They'll I don't think the attorney general. And I don't think the attorney general, like Bill Barr, is just going to say, "Yeah, forget it. We're not going to look at that." Well, I don't think he's going to make that mistake.
Yeah, we've accused him of criminal activity. Yeah, so
exactly.
I'm going to take the breath. So
yeah.
What do you guys
Well, I got a question about Pennsylvania specifically, because I believe if I remember, and I didn't pull it up, but did they not, and I don't know how this is going to affect it or not, did they not just pass a law where the signature must match the mail-in ballot? I think I read that. No, I don't know if that's true or not.
What you read, what they did originally was the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has held that it's suppressing the vote if we compare signatures. So they won't let us compare signatures here.
Unreal.
It's ridiculous. But the majority of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has been taken over by political activists. The judges are political activists that they've installed. And Pennsylvania Supreme Court, in my opinion, is broken. Now, we'll see. We got, you know, we sent an appeal up to them. We'll see what happens with them. But what they did find is... what they ruled in the last election is they had a whole bunch of mail-in ballots that didn't have dates on them in different places. And they needed to change a few elections. So a Pennsylvania judge said that, oh, no, you need to count mail-in ballots that are undated. Complete violation of federal law and every state law.
Sure.
Just, but the judge says, oh, no, you got to count these. So then the counties that were, you know, had contested elections, Fayette County being one of them, they go in and they counted those ballots. And there was a lot of them. It wasn't like 10. It was hundreds. In some cases, my understanding is thousands. So basically, it was real simple. We found a bunch of mail-in ballots in Bob's car. Okay. They're not signed. They don't have dates on them. But a judge says we got to count them. And then they changed the elections, and you know, we sued, and they certified. It's a, it's a game of cat and mouse. But what they finally did is they came back. The Supreme Court came back and said, no, they have to be signed. It's a violation of law. But now, what do we do? Cat's out of the bag. We sued in Fayette County, and we said, hey, we want to see those mail-in ballots, and they're saying, hey, they're all gone. There's no way for us to separate those fake mail-in ballots from the ones that we put in.
Of course.
So it's done. And these are, they call it strategic mooting. This is the bellwether of public corruption. So that was the, I think that was the case you were referring to, Dale.
Is that how they're going to, is that how we think they're going to do it again? Now there's a date. Now they have to do that. They can't. So that's great. That part's been settled. But now it's going to be a name thing for me. It's still going to be they're just going to use names. There's going to be no proof of who that name is or where that came from. Correct. So that's the part that kind of worries me, is that that's the direction they're going to go. Yeah, there'll be a date on it. Great. You know, in October 13th, 2024, there's a date and here's a signature. Boom. Run it through. Now what?
So that kind of goes into your, that kind of goes into your article too, Dale. That's a good point, because your article mentions that Shapiro now is in your article, it says any illegal, okay, alien applying for a driver's license is illegally registered to vote.
Correct. Yeah.
How is that possible?
They're trolling. Where's the, I said this last show, and I, for people who are just tuning in this show, where's the last place an illegal alien is on election day? In a polling location. They're not going to walk in and commit a third degree felony. Right. I mean, some do, but the vast majority of them, we've imported, Biden has imported 17 million illegal aliens that they've spread throughout the states. And they specifically have deposited them in Republican areas, in places that they want to change the vote. That's where these guys are showing up. And and I'm not going to, you know, say anything about illegal aliens at this point. They're leaving their countries. I know a lot of them are criminals and they're emptying their jails. But a lot of them are people just looking for better opportunity. They come here. And what they do is, once they're registered to vote, what's supposed to happen is they're supposed to verify every single person before they send them a mail-in ballot. And what they've done, and this is where we talked about the subversion of the elections and what the federal courts will be deciding on, is in Delaware County and Fayette County and Chester County, what they did is they mailed the mail-in ballots out anyways without verifying the people. And they said, regardless, we'll verify them afterwards. They never when get they verified. The mail-in ballots, you know, they go out and then they come back. In a lot of cases, they just stuff the, we have drop boxes here. They just stuff in drop boxes. They just walk in and and they can create any number of mail-in ballots that they want. And here's the deal.
Wow.
What we did is we sued, it was Schwartz, Stenstrom, Hoops, and Rumley. Four of us sued to the county to look at the mail-in ballot envelopes. We said, we want to see the envelopes. We want to see the addresses. We want to see the people's signatures and so forth. And they refused. They said, no, 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 that's private information. You can't have that. I go, well, how's it private? It's a, it's an attestation. Supreme Court Doe v. Reed says that a public attestation is a public record. I'm allowed to see them. If someone put their name on a vote, then I'm allowed to see that. So we went to the Commonwealth Court. They denied us in the Common Pleas Court at the local level. Big surprise. We go to the Commonwealth Court, and we got one crooked judge there. It's the president judge. It's Judge Wojcik. Every single election case has flowed through to him. So I'm sitting there for an hour. You know, we're sitting there for an hour in a hearing with him. And they, the state, the Commonwealth said, the lawyers said, the attorney general and the lawyers said, oh, no, no, no. What we're doing is the signatures. Here's 50 cases that say signatures are sacrosanct and that they're they're private. And I said, you know what those 50 cases all have in common? Not one of them mentioned signatures. That's no lie. Not one of them mentioned signatures. I said, there's only one case here that talks about signatures. It's Doe v. Reed, and we're allowed to have them. So then they changed tactics, and the Commonwealth Court judge says, Well, really, the Commonwealth only makes suggestions to the common, you know, the counties of how they should do elections. So what do you mean suggestions? Yeah. I said, what happens when they don't do, they don't follow a suggestion? They get sued. You know, the Commonwealth sued five different counties for not following their directives. So I said, so it's hardly a suggestion. They said, oh, no, no, no. I'm ruling that we're just suggesting to the counties of how to run their elections. So we're going to send it back to the county, all right? And they're going to decide whether you're allowed to look at the signatures. So here's what's happened. They gave them to us anyways. They refused to have a hearing. They will not have a hearing. That has been sitting there for 10 months.
You're kidding.
That case. Nope. They won't hear the case. So instead, we have 346,000 mail-in ballots now, envelopes going back to 2020. Some of them we provided, some of we photographed, but we now have the signatures of all of the mail-in ballot envelopes, supposedly, for Delaware County. Mm-hmm. And we've looked at them. And guess what? A bunch of them are fake. Big surprise. Yep. So what happened is, now I have Chester County, Fayette County, Lackawanna County, Lycoming County, all these counties are saying, well, we want to see the envelopes with the signatures so mm-hmm. we can verify that these people exist and we can check them against mm-hmm. the voter rolls and so forth. No, you can't have them. The Office of Open Records has already said we have to have them. But they go, no, there's no court ruling. There's no precedentiary case that will allow you to look at the signatures.
Because they won't bring it to a case. They'll give them to you, but there's nothing. Case. They won't hear it. Yeah. Wow.
So,
wow. Because that would set precedent, and then that's when.
This is Shapiro.
Got and Shapiro right all over done fear. It.
Yeah. That's why they fear when we go. I mean, hopefully, I explained that well enough. So,
you
when
did
we go to a federal very well. Court. Judge Alito's sitting there going, hey, you know, they have hidden the mail-in ballot envelopes from us. They've hidden the mm-hmm. signature from us. They won't let us do comparisons. They won't let us do pre-canvassing, which is required by law. They won't let us do canvassing. Mm-hmm. They won't let us do recounts. They won't let us do observed recounts. There hasn't been an observed recount and audit in Pennsylvania since 2020. Now, they'll say different. Mm-hmm. For example, in Delaware County, they said, oh, no, well, you did for 4 recounts in the last election. Well, let me explain how those 4 recounts worked, because we asked for mm-hmm. 12 recounts. They wouldn't grant ours because we asked for the information that would allow us to validate it. We said, well, we want to see the CVRs, the digital records. We need the blue books, the yellow books, because we're not just going to count the ballots. They could be fake. They probably are fake. We want to count. Yes. We want to take all of the checks and balances and see if they were valid votes. Oh, no. That would be an audit. Well, yeah, it would be an audit. mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
the law allows us to do that. And they say, oh, no, we can't have that. What we're going to do is we'll go back into our centralized counting center and we'll let this one candidate, Steiner, they said, we'll let you stand mm-hmm. behind a rope barrier 30 feet away. We're going to count them again for you. And hey, guess what? You lost. Again, that's not a recount.
Yeah, that's not a recount. That's not a recount. I mean, it's recounting the illegal ballot, is what
correct.
It is. Is there any other country in the world? I don't know. I mean this honestly, that allows even mail-in balloting. Any other?
No, there's not. Not
there
even,
is there?
Not even the banana republics will allow mail-in.
That's ballots. What I'm saying. Yeah, there's the none.
We really are the only ones, and we're the only ones that allow, these centralized machines. And it doesn't matter whether it's I think a big mistake that was made by initially in the early days after 2020, they pointed at the manufacturers. Now, whether the mm-hmm. Dominion and ESNS and Hardinger Civic were, participants in the election mm-hmm. fraud, the threshold where we try to prove something like that is almost mm-hmm. an impossible threshold. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what we said is, well, let's make an assumption. Let's assume that, the EAC did their job and, mm-hmm. not everyone's a criminal. And let's assume that election machines were. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's just assume that. Mm-hmm. There's procedures that if they are subverted will allow you to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't follow those procedures, you're cheating.
Yeah.
And that's all we have in our state right now. And that's the blueprint for deception everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another example. In Georgia, I don't know if in the Fannie Willis, it was a few weeks ago, they talked about this thing, the Blue Crest Sorter. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, we want to see the images of the mail-in ballots, the mail-in envelopes and so forth. We need to see them. We don't have them. They said they didn't take them. But in other locations, they said, oh, no, we destroyed them. We didn't take them. Mm-hmm. They won't provide any of the documents and records that show they ran an honest election. And here's the bottom line for the federal court and what the federal law says and our Constitution says. It says the counties and the governments, they have the burden of proof to prove they ran an honest election.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's not up to me as the citizenry or the candidate or the authorized representative or the poll watcher. We're not supposed to go out and prove election fraud. It's almost an impossible threshold. They have to prove they ran an honest election. Not we have to come in and say, hey, you know, you ran a dishonest one. And even after we did that, even after we ran a sting, which is in that article, and we have videos, video of election officials, including attorneys, destroying election records, admitting on record, on video, we did it. We fabricated the entire election. There's no way to reconcile the votes. We've gone forward. What reconcile means is in every county, in every precinct, in every election, there's a sheet. It's called a reconciliation sheet, a return sheet. And it says, this is how many ballots were counted. This is how many I got. Here's the machine counters. And this is how many people voted for Biden and how many people voted for Trump. And it's a sheet. And someone signs it, a judge of elections. And then a secondary person there, they countersign it. And they say, okay, it's all good. All right, let's turn the thing in. Let's turn in the paper tapes from the machines, which are printed out, that show all the write-ins and show the results. It's all a nice, tidy package, right? It says, this is the proof of the election. Here's the little V drive with the electronic votes. We're good to go. In Delaware County, there's 428 precincts. They destroyed, they couldn't produce 220 of those return sheets. Of the return sheets they did have, they destroyed the paper tapes and they redid all of the return sheets. God. We got them doing it on record. We've got them literally shredding the stuff, filling out the return sheets and saying the whole thing was a fugazi. We made the entire election up.
Jeez.
They've done the same thing in Chester County. They did the same thing in Fayette County. It's a complete fugazi. We went to the judges and we said, there is no way they can reconcile the vote. In Fayette County, you took 8,400 mail-in ballots, didn't separate them out by precinct. You shoved them into a big bag. And then you came out the night of the election, you said a bunch of these candidates won. And then the next day you said they lost. And the day after that, you said they tied and we had to roll some dice. And then you said we found, I'm not kidding you, this is true. We found a whole bunch of more ballots in Bob's car and we got to count them. And then they came out and they said, oh, we found, we've got a whole bunch. We've got hundreds of mail-in ballots that were undated that we didn't count. And now a judge in, you know, Podunk, Pennsylvania said we have to count them. So we're going to count them. So we go back and we say, hey, look, there's some errors. There's obviously a problem here. So we want an audit. Nope. We're not going to let you do that.
Unreal.
You have to pay $132,000 within 4 days after the election to allow us to and get 227 signatures to do a recount. That's complete bullshit. I'm going to say that's not what the law says. That's what they said. And now the judge, now the judge's latest opinion, which he finally gave, was a matter of it's a ridiculous. He doesn't quote statutes. He doesn't quote law. Basically, it says we don't want to do it because we don't have to. If you didn't provide prima facie evidence of fraud, what do I got to do? Hit you over the head with a 2x4?
What kind of
moron are you?
Exactly. Wow.
Man.
Wow.
That's and so, where we are. This, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, and this is kind of the basis to, I want to talk a little bit about, because you've met him and you know him personally, is Mike Lindell, right? Yeah. My pillow, Mike Lindell. You know, he put a lot of his money and basically put his ass on the line to prove election fraud. And I believe he did it. You know, I believe he was successful in what he showed. I don't disbelieve anything that I've seen on that. I guess the question then is, what he presented, you know, across different states and all that, it was all true, was it not? I mean, it was 100% fact based.
I think most of it was.
I say that because I believed it.
He got stung. Mike Lindell is a godly man, and he is a well-meaning and honest man. There's nothing, there's not a sentence that came out of his mouth that he didn't believe to be true. And most of what he said was true. Where he got stung, I'm going to say where he got stung. First of all, he had people around him that were telling him not to talk to me and not to talk to Leah. We've had the evidence and the proof that would have exonerated him from day one. And he has people around him that have recommended otherwise. Now, I was there when I was in D.C. when they brought forward the Kraken and the PCAP logs and everything. And I'm going to tell you, I said that they were complete bullshit. I said that. I said, they can't do it. It doesn't mean that they don't exist and they don't exist someplace. But I'm a Brocade certified network engineer, a Cisco certified network engineer, and, you know, multiple switches. I'm a networking expert. And, you know, I've done it for a good part of my living as part of security, and it has to do with fraud and so forth. And I said, what you're saying is that there were PCAP logs, okay, that showed these intrusions from these foreign agencies. So the first question I would have would be, who gave them to you? Because the only one who could have them would be the NSA. And I'm pretty sure that they didn't give them to you. They may have been in some of the data fusion centers, which I've worked in, and in some of these places. But the bottom line is they don't record a lot of that information until they see a trigger. So I'll give you an example. They see, China. We get 20 different, packets come in from China, and they go to a special location. There's a whole bunch of triggers with automated systems that our government runs, watching for things like that. Now, as soon as they see a trigger event, that's a trigger event. It's a trigger.
Yeah.
I'm going to start logging that. I want to look at the logs that, from the 5 minutes previous to that. And now I'm going to log that event, and I'm going to do an advanced analysis on this, and I'm going to send it to an actual person to look at, or persons. So that trigger event is going to be looked at by specialists, experts, government agents who have experience in this. They're going to look, and they're going to say, hey, someone's trying to break into our election machines from China or Russia or whatever. So then there's going to be counterattacks, and they're going to stop it. And there's going to be all types of reports. Now, what are the odds that someone handed that over to Mike Lindell?
I know.
I'm just going to say what they are. They're low guys. And I saw that report, and I was down in D.C., and I was banging my head on the desk, I was banging my fist on the desk saying, look at guys, even if it's true, and it, like you said, Dale, it could be true. Even if it is true, it will take 3 to 4 years before we can prove it. And right now, we have the election fraud. We know how they stole it. They stole it with mail-in ballots. They stole it with V drives. They stole it the old-fashioned way, and they stole it in the centralized counting centers. We can fix that. We cannot fix Dominion at the moment. And that's why Mike got, hit, and he got hit hard. And I'm going to tell you one other thing about this. There's been a law firm, and his name is Duane Morris. It's a Philadelphia law firm based out of here, but it's a national law firm. Another law firm called Ballard Spahr. But Duane Morris, on the one hand, was attacking in the defamation suits and in the prosecution here. They're attacking Leah, myself, President Trump on one hand, okay? And guess who was defending Mike Lindell? And guess who was defending Fox Morris? Duane Morris. The very law firm, they had the evidence of that would have exonerated Mike Lindell. They had the evidence that would have exonerated President Trump. They had the evidence that would have shown massive election fraud. They had it because we put it in their hands. We have the emails. We have the emails and the billing records to the general counsel for Duane Morris, who was coordinating this, and they had exculpatory evidence. On the one hand, they were going after some people, and the other hand, they were supposed to be defending other people. And you know what they did? They lost every goddamn case.
Wow.
And they collected millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions. Jeez. So we gave this information to Newsmax, okay, mm-hmm. who Duane Morris was representing Newsmax. They've already lost to Fox yep, News.
Correct.
They've already screwed yep. Lindell. So we gave the information and they withdrew the next day, by the way. This isn't conjecture. It's not like, oh, this is the next freaking day that we gave that information. They withdrew from the Newsmax case because they knew they were caught. And I'm saying this now because we've already filed the lawsuits and we filed the information and the defamation suits. And we said Duane Morris and Ballard Spahr and several other law firms have made tens of millions of dollars by screwing people like Mike Lindell. And it goes back to the beginning of the conversation. I'm going to dial it back. You can tell my voice gets, I get angry about this stuff.
I don't blame you. Yes.
Because it's so obvious and it's so blatant and it is a matter of public and judicial record that they did this. Duane Morris did it. Mm-hmm. They are guilty. We have filed the suit. We have the billing records. If they want to file a defamation suit against me here, I already said it in that article. Yep. I haven't got a defamation suit yet because they know damn well if they do a defamation suit, that gives me discovery and subpoena power.
Correct.
I already have your billing records. I already know you did it, you ass clowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I know you did. Mm-hmm. I'm accusing you of it. Go ahead. You know, let's do this again. I've already been sued 4 times and sanctioned 7. Let's roll.
Wow.
Okay. But what we need to do is get these federal cases. You know, that's going to happen later. The comeuppance and the reckonings will come later. Right now, we need to go to the federal courts and say they're going to steal the election again.
Correct.
They're stealing the election by generating false mail-in ballots. Creating these, you know, Shapiro, he's trolling the college campuses, looking for people to, you know, college students to break the law, saying, hey, you have to register to vote. You can't do that, college kids. If you're registered to vote back in your hometown, you can't register to vote in 2 different places. Okay. But that doesn't matter to Shapiro because they're going to count their vote anyways.
Jeez.
And they're not even worried about the vote. All they need is a name.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll create the ballot for you. If you think your ballot is being counted, think again.
Yeah.
In the last election in May of 2023, it was May of 2023. I mix up elections at this point.
Yeah.
We were sitting there. We had observers in the May 2023 election in Delaware County. I've gotten pretty good at counting the number of ballots to go through the machines that get counted. And they actually changed. They used to put the ballots in U.S. Postal Service letterboxes that say 500. So you used to be able to look at it and say, well, there's approximately 500 letters in there. After the first case, and they knew we were counting them, they changed everything. Now they have yellow trays, green trays, red trays,
brown trays,
and they spread them all out so they're hard to count. But nevertheless, I can still count. And I had a few people there that I trained, you know, we were sitting there going, I says, how many mail-in ballots do you see there? And they're like, I don't know. How the heck do we count them? So I started them out with a box. I says, how many mail-in ballots do you think are in that box? And then everyone estimated. And I held up a piece of paper and I said, well, everyone said 200. How many is in that box? Well, 150. Okay. How many in that box? 250. And everyone had about the same number. And we says, okay, have we established that everyone here, once you try, that you can count the number of ballots. So how many ballots do you see sitting there that they're going to count on election day in May? It was actually, I counted 7,600, but we all agreed that there were no more than 10,000 mail-in ballots sitting there that they processed. Okay. At the end of the day, everyone's agreed. We got 10,000. So at the end of the day, we go, okay, how many mail-in ballots do you say you counted? 25,000. And we said, oh no, you didn't count 25,000. Yeah. We know you didn't count 25,000. Now, listen, we have the video. I got this on video. We have the video. We did another count. There is no possible way that they counted more than 10,000 mail-in ballots.
Unreal.
No possible way. It is physically impossible. And yet, they say they counted 25,000. This is the evidence that we're bringing to the federal courts. Here's the video. We can prove they fudged the count. We can prove they're fake mail-in ballots. We took all over 300,000 mail-in ballots. We took pictures of them all. They're all loaded right now. You can go to MIBDB, Mike India Bravo, Delta Bravo, MIB database, MIBDB.org. You can sign in there and everything's there. You can use a name. Any person in Delaware County can put their name in and they will see their mail-in ballot envelopes for every election going back to 2020. If they're not there, then they weren't counted. If they're there and they didn't submit them, then someone voted for them. We already have dozens of people have already said, I didn't vote, but there's an envelope there for me. And other people have said, well, I voted and there is no envelope. What's going on?
What's going on?
This is the evidence they were going to the federal court with, and this is frankly why Shapiro is crapping his pants at this point.
Sure.
Because he's an illegitimate attorney general. He's an illegitimate governor. 9 out of 10 mail-in ballots they got during the election in 2022 that made him the governor and made Fetterman the U.S. senator, 9 out of 10. It's actually 86 out of 100. I'm just going to call it, and I'm going to round up from 8.6 or 8.7. I'm going to round 9 out of 10 mail-in ballots were for Fetterman.
Unreal.
And were for Shapiro. Come on.
Theoretically impossible.
Okay. It's not possible. That would mean that they had to get 100% of Democrats, 100% of independents, and 80% of Republican votes.
Of Republicans.
Republicans.
Yeah, when you break it down that way, you're right.
Democrats and the independents, I had to get 80% of the Republicans to vote for me. Now, do you think that happened? It's not possible. But what happens is that's not evidence or proof. We can talk about that conjecturally, but if you go to a court of law, they'll say, well, that's just a statistic. You know, it's not, you know, that it seems incredulous, but where's your proof? We have the proof. We have proof coming out of our ass. And I'm sorry to use the language on here, but
you use no. That's we're not language place here.
We have the evidence.
Trust us.
Coming out, we have evidence in spades. We can pound him with the evidence, and we did it in Philadelphia. They went after us. They sued us for millions of dollars, and they lost. And they couldn't refute a single piece of evidence. We brought it up there. We showed them the videos. We showed them everything. We says, "Hey, you want to refute it? Take your best shot." And they withdrew from the case and discontinued it. And we said, see you later. And we're going to do the same thing here in Pennsylvania. We're going to prove that Shapiro is a criminal. And he has been a pretty slippery guy. He keeps his, you know, keeps his head down. He talks in sound bites. He panders to the hard left. And he stays out of sight of the hard right. That's what he does. We're going to get him. And we're gonna focus on him and show that he's a part of this.
Very good.
Yeah, very good. Pennsylvania is so important to the election process. I mean, can they do it?
Sorry,
Dave. Go on, Jim. No, go on.
Can they do it again this way? For instance, do we need the centralized counting centers?
No,
do we need the drop boxes anymore? No. We don't need that, right? Because COVID's
gone. Not even allowed by law. There's no law that says Act 77 didn't say create centralized counting centers. Act 77 didn't say throw out all the laws. So I don't need to get rid of Act 77. I just need to get rid of the subversion of the laws. If they want to put in mail-in ballots, I'm cool with it. You know, we can survive that, but they need to go back to the local precincts. 428 precincts. Now I got judges of elections and I got 5 to 6 people in there in every single precinct going through and saying, hey, who's this, Dr. Vinnie Bumba, you know, I'm looking at this thing. He's not on the blue book and I don't know who the heck he is. Okay. I'm going to challenge that, you know, or I'm going to put that aside. Or better yet, even if they counted all the mail-in ballots and they didn't even do the verification, at least now I've got someone hand counting them, you know, and I've got eyeballs on. What they're saying is like, oh, it's impossible. You know, that would mean there'll be 200 mail-in ballots per precinct. So what? Okay. I got 5 hours to count them. And I got 5 people there. You can't count 200 mail-in ballots in 5 hours?
Yeah.
I think that's
doable. Are they getting rid of centralized county centers? Are they getting rid of them, or are they still around?
Well, we're going to try. I think that they're an abomination, and they're anathema to the Constitution. And I think they were an unintended consequence of the legislatures who were duped into signing it. You know, not all the legislatures are idiots, but I think they were duped into it, and they went along the party lines. And I'm going to close with one thing, because I know we're getting to that time. Is that one of the difficulties here we have is that the GOP and the DNC, they're one unified body. It's a unipod. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions of that in your county, go down and look at your elections and see how many empty billets there are. There's roughly over 200 state representatives in the state of Pennsylvania, six of them in Delaware County. Three of them are empty. We have no Republican candidate running. And the same thing is true in Democrats running against Republicans. And let me ask you this, and think from a common sense perspective. Do you really think it's 100 to 101 legislators in elections, or 102 when they do legislation? Do you really think the Congress is one or two apart? You know, when they do votes?
Yeah, I know.
Do you really think that the U.S. senators, that there's a $50 million bounty for a U.S. senator to resign, Republican U.S. senator? We've already had two that have taken that bait, and we know there's at least another one that's going to do it. So do you really, really think that the DNC and the GOP don't talk to each other and don't cooperate and collude with each other?
No,
and connive with each other? Please. Of course they do. Yeah. They don't represent us.
Correct.
The party does not represent you. The GOP does not represent Republicans. They represent themselves. The DNC doesn't represent Democrats. They represent themselves. And if you want to look at the case, there's a case called Wilding versus the DNC and Wasserman. It's in Florida. And that was a case where a bunch of people, Bernie Sanders people, sued the DNC. And they said, hey, Bernie Sanders won the primary. And you know what? Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah.
And you know what? How they won the case? The DNC won the case. Mm. Their argument was that a primary is a fugazi. We can do whatever we want. Mm. There is no constitutional requirement for a primary. These are fabrications by the GOP and the DNC to continue to select people that they want in. It's a horse trade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as people wake up to that, the way they solve it is to go vote. Why wouldn't they commit? Why shouldn't they be criminals? The primary elections, I get 18% of people show up to vote in the primary. 18%. That's one out of five.
Yeah.
Four out of five of you that are listening to this stay home. Mm-hmm. In a presidential election, which impacts every aspect of your life. Your kids, education, corona response, faxes, wars, every aspect of the economy, the price of gas, every single aspect of your life, and I got 4 out of 10 of you that stay at home.
Yep. It's insane.
Now, when 100% of people show up, and 100% of people show up for the primary, it makes it almost impossible for them to cheat.
Yeah.
Participation equals honesty.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Greg. An excellent point. Thank you for mentioning that. You know, that's true.
Dale and I say all the time, the politicians have us fight with each other.
Absolutely.
They throw something out there, we fight with each other, and then we're not paying attention to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just not paying attention because that's what they want us to do. They know the triggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And so that's that we've been saying it all along, that until the American people stand up and say, we're not being played anymore, it's never going to get fixed. And we just have to try to reach as many people as we can. And that's what's important.
You're right. That's complacency and laziness if you're not out.
Support individual candidates. Support your local candidates. Support your national candidates. You know, if you want to contribute, look at Trump. He had to take over the GOP because the GOP was against him.
Right.
Correct.
Trump he was done in by the GOP, the Never Trump.
He sure
was. The GOP did him in. And that's why Rona McDaniel's gone. Laura Trump is in, and they did a complete purge. What do they call it? A bloodbath? And they was, it's horrible. Bloodbath. It wasn't, there was nobody dying, but they took every scumbag they could find. They found 60 scumbags and they threw them out and they said, we're going to start trying to represent the people. Okay. And at least we're not going to be working against President Trump. Mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go.
There's a prima facie evidence that the GOP was broken.
Yep. That's right. Yep. Greg, how can people reach you and get the book? I know it's Patriot Online. Is it .com or .org? Is it?
No, there's no .com or .org. It's a social media platform. Okay. No, you can go to www.patriot.online. That's the landing page. It's a social media platform. You got to put the www there to get to the enter screen. And if you want to join up, you can join. It's not easy to join up for some people, but you know, the reason Facebook is easy to sign up is because it's not anonymous. They get your credit card, they get your name, they get your phone number. So you can't post
and your vote.
Facebook. Yeah. But on Patriot Online, you can post completely anonymously. There's an instruction booklet there. It doesn't take very long, but you can sign up at www.patriot.online. There's three buttons there. There's a donate for the legal defense. There's a donate for Patriot Online. It costs money to put this social media platform up. And then there's a link to the parallelelection.com. So the link is parallelelection.com. And for those who can't spell parallel, just go to your Google and type in Amazon, go to Amazon and slaughter it the best you can. Put P-A-R-A-L-E-L or whatever you can put in.
It'll pick it up.
And it'll find the book for you. So you can buy the book there. I encourage you to buy the book. And I think it's $17.99 to spend for a while for the soft cover.
I've purchased it and I've read it and it's so great. It's
easy read, right?
Yep.
So we appreciate that. We could use the donations for legal funds. We're at the federal court. Just to file a case is $400. Just to file, then we have to file all of the, it's thousands of dollars to put the little booklets together so that everyone can read them in the Supreme Court cases. I think the first Supreme Court case we did was $4,500 just for the books. And this one right here. This book right here, I had to do 40 of these. Look at this little book right here.
Yeah.
And it's still, this was $4,500. And then it was $7,000 to do what they call the they killed the case, and then we put in a request for reconsideration. That was $7,000. So every time we file these, we have to print these little books, and we write the cases. They're all available at www.patreon.online. There's a link there for election resources. Mm-hmm. That article for Shapiro had all the cases listed there. You could click on it. Download.
It's got all of them here. Mm-hmm. And this was written in, the intellectual, or is that what it is?
Oh,
Intelligencer. I'm sorry.
That's George Eliason. We're on the editorial board, Leah and myself.
Good.
The intelligencer.today. And I recommend that website if you want to know what's going on around the world. The authors there, I'm honored to be. I couldn't believe it. I said, why would you pick me for the editorial board? If you look at the editorial board, you've got, the very renowned people. So,
That's why they picked you, sir.
Well,
that is why they picked you.
I'm not renowned, but
Intelligencer.today.
I bookmark that. There's some great stuff, especially if you follow George Eliason's in Donbass. And, he works out of Donbass. So anything you want to know about Europe, the Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, China, George is sitting there on site. And we've got a number of people on the editorial board and another contributors that not only talk about world news, but they talk about the economy. It's a pretty good topic. And anything with Mike Lindell, you guys, find the Mike Lindell Show, Emeril Robinson, who we love, and The Absolute Truth, and Roger Stone, one of my favorite people in the world. Plug your own show and his show. There's a lot of good patriots out there.
Hey, Greg, I'm looking at the editorial board, and how come you didn't have the picture that Leah has on here?
I don't know which one. Which one did she do?
Which one? Got, she's wearing her polka dotted dress with
the... Oh, she's got the... Yeah, we can do it. Yeah. Oh,
I like that one. Yeah, it's right.
Well, you know,
it looks good though. You look great.
Well, she's usually the fiery one. So, like when she's not here, mm-hmm. I had to throw in a few curses and get a little bit.
I like it. That was good. It was good. You learn. See how you guys compliment each other. You're learning from each other. You too.
She's the fire. I usually sit back and I get to be the circumspect one, which is a lot easier, by the way. It's a lot harder to be fiery than it is.
Oh, I can imagine. She's a real trooper, a real patriot too. And sad she couldn't join us today, but we, you know, under the weather and hope she feels better. And will you come back when she is feeling better? We'd love to have you.
We'd love to come back. Let's keep in touch.
Yeah, I love talking
to
you, Greg.
We're getting into the election time, so we got to keep this in everybody's head so we can keep getting this push, because this can't happen again. I mean, we see what's going on, and not just the country, but the world, for crying out loud. I mean, the world wasn't in shambles when President Trump was president.
Correct.
Correct.
So, it is a time of great choices.
Exactly.
God bless you, Dale. Greg, God bless Jim. And God bless Mike Lindell. He's a sponsor of the show, right, Mike Lindell? God bless.
Yeah, that's right. God bless him. Yeah.
We wish he did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Mike, if you're listening.
Come on, man.
God bless you as well in the work you and Leah do, and keep it up. Whatever we can do to help you, we'll do it.
Oh, you thank you very much, guys. 100%. You're the best. Thanks, Greg. We'll talk to you soon. Guys. Bye. Goodbye. Thank you, Greg, as always. That was one of the quickest hours I've spent, you know, talking to anybody.
I mean, has there been anybody? I mean, we've talked to Border Patrol officers, right?
We've talked to JJ Carroll.
Love that guy. Has there been anybody that is more qualified to do a job than what Greg is?
What he's doing?
Yeah.
Successfully did.
Thank God for him. I mean,
thank God for him. I liked what was it this?
And Leah.
You asked if there was any more Gregs and Leahs in any other states or any other counties and all that. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be. It's
unfortunate.
It's rough. This is rough. That's why it's so important to get him in front of Trump and just speak to, you know, an hour with Greg and Leah sitting down with Trump, just those three, you know, go a long way into securing our elections. Trust me.
I gotta be honest with you. I do think maybe there were some people in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Because the law was passed the way that it was passed. Okay. Mm-hmm. They did an amendment to the Constitution where it doesn't need the governor's approval. So, so I do believe there are people out there. They're just not out there.
Yeah.
Right. Like, because they're either afraid or they get together with people and stuff. But, so I do think there are people fighting. Okay.
Yeah, I do too.
I do think now Georgia with the registrations, and they're not going to have any more of these drop boxes or anything like that. So I feel a little bit comfortable about Georgia. All right.
Yeah,
so,
I do.
But no one like Greg and Leah, no one has gone to the point where this case is now going to go federal.
Federal.
Mm-hmm. That's what we want.
Yep. And you know what it costs to do that. He told you right there on air for a booklet to get. I never knew anything. See, I just don't know these things. You know, it's insane what you have to do to get it in front of the Supreme Court, right? It's craziness. So help him out. Go to Patriot Online. Go to the Parallel Election. Find his book. Jim's read it. You read the whole book. Mm-hmm, Am I not wrong? Yeah.
Yeah.
The read, right?
It's a very easy read. The thing is, though, you've got to pay attention to the pictures. You got to pay attention to what the descriptions are at the end. Because in the end, they have appendixes. But don't just say, okay, it's an appendix. I don't need to read that. Read the appendix, because that's where you get a lot of the information.
I'm going to try to find the video of them shredding. I know Greg had sent it. What was it, Jim? Damn it. Yeah, we'll look it up. I'll try to find it, and I'll try to post it here at the end of this episode.
Is it the MIBDB.org? Did I say that right? Or is it?
That's where I think you can go see if your ballot matches. If you send in a ballot.
And I thought that was Patriot Online. I thought this.
No, Patriot Online's his social media site.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought he said that.
I think you're right on that one.
See videos of. I thought maybe I'm wrong.
I'll go look. I'll see. If not, if they're not posted here, we'll make sure we get it out there. Where you can go see it. I know he sent them before, so I'm going to try to download those. I think there was an issue last time. I can't remember, but that's it, folks. That was Greg. Thank you again for coming on. I mean, we can't honestly. He'll be on again. I mean, we're just going to keep this going. It's that important. You know, the election 7 months away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7 months away. So honestly, I mean, they say it all the time, but the most important election I think in the history of this country, I think, is this one. You have to vote. We understand the anger, right, Jim? Mm-hmm. We understand the wild boy, my vote just doesn't count. They just pissed it away. They did it last time. They'll do it this time. No, we have to make sure there's so many that they can't. They physically just can't do it. Well, you have to go out and vote.
You heard what he said. He said the next way of cheating, the names.
The names.
These illegals coming in. They only need names. Yep.
It's all they need.
Just need a name. So it's all they need.
So if there's 20 million illegals, we need 40 million more registered Republicans to go out and vote for Trump and independents. We need those people. We need to double what they brought in. When you think about that, 60% votes in a presidential election, far less in primaries and midterms and all that. 60%. That angers me. You know, that literally angers me because that controls everything.
Right.
And only 60% of you out there give a shit. The other 40%, what are you doing? Yeah. You know? So, hopefully that 40% is Democrats, but I'm just saying, but we know it's not. We know it's not. So, Jim, you got anything else to add? I don't want to keep this going longer than it has to, but folks, thank you again. Again, the only show this week. We appreciate your listenership. Follow us. Like, follow, and share on Rumble. Support our friends at the Warrior Shield and Grit Gear and Freedom Ring Apparel and Lock and Load Coffee and Wheelchairs for Warriors and so many, right? Good causes.
Yes,
great. Good American First Help Veteran causes out there. Santino probably could learn a couple things from that. That's it. I'm not mentioning his name anymore. Jim, that's all I got. Folks, we'll see you next week. We'll be back with two shows next week as well. Until then, Jim, have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Two Guys, One Coup podcast with Dale and Jim. Remember, you can watch on YouTube and Rumble and listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you like what you hear, go ahead and give us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it, and it helps others find us when searching for podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and TikTok. Just search for Two Guys, One Coup. That's the number 2, guys, and the number 1, coup, C-O-U-P. Thanks again for listening to the Two Guys, One Coup podcast, and God bless the United States of America.